Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. We're talking about the plight of the Muslims in Myanmar, Burma, who are being massacred and no one is lifting a finger to help them. And most of the media in the hands of the dictatorships of the Muslim world aren't even raising a voice, let alone a finger, to come to their aids. Ditto the people of Bahrain, who are continuing to be gassed by poison gas, occupied by their neighboring countries, ruled over by brute thieves and drunken scum. We're talking, yes, about the Bahraini royal family, and we're talking about gender segregation, apartheid, you can call it, in Saudi Arabia, not least in the sporting field, talking about the campaign called No Woman, No Play, asking the question, how come Saudi Arabia, which doesn't allow women to actually practice sport at all, should be allowed to come as honoured guests in the Olympic Games? Let's talk to Ali in the UK on Bahrain. Ali, welcome to the show.
Hi, George, how are you doing?
Very well, sir, go ahead.
Great. George, I would like to thank you personally for your efforts on exposing these stories to everybody and getting people to know what's happening around the world to the people like them, and would like to thank Press TV for the time and the effort as well. Really, everything is connected to each other, George. What's happening in Bahrain is the same happening in Burma, is the same happening in Syria. It's all about how the media is taking it out to the people. What's happening in Bahrain, we are struggling for 1.5 years. I left Bahrain back in April 2011 when Saudi army entered Bahrain, and for 1 month they were killing and torturing people on the road. However, the United States and United Kingdom and what's so-called the superpower around the world, they're still supporting these dictatorships. And they still, on the media, saying we are supporting democracy and so on. But when it comes to Burma, when it comes to Syria, when it comes to the other places, they're taking the story in different propaganda through the media. And that's really what, you know, what you guys are doing and what I really appreciate. You are taking the real picture on what's happening on the ground to the people. Today, Bahrain is, you know, under the occupation of Saudi Arabia, supported by Scotland Yard, by Pentagon, by United States CIA, by every single superpower around the world to make sure that Al Khalifa exists and Al Khalifa still rule Bahrain. And why is that? Because the United States wants to control the world and wants to control the Gulf region, where they make sure the oil is out for them and they make sure Israel is safe. And that's the catch here, because the whole struggle is about having our own decision, making our own decision, and, you know, having our own policy, regardless of other countries. And that's what they don't want to have in the Gulf region. The change is going to happen in the Gulf. The change is going to take place in Bahrain, in Saudi Arabia. Today, in UAE, things are happening. And the whole region is going to be changed in the coming years. But they all trying to do is to make sure that this change is going with their policies, going with their plan. Yeah. And it's not going to happen, because we promise ourselves that the change is going to happen in a proper way. We will make sure that we make our decision on our own. We will make sure that when we sit down with these, what they call superpower, we put our agenda and we put our people interest on the table face to face to them. And that's why they're fighting us, and that's why they are supporting others. That's the story, George.
Well, it's a narrative that I entirely concur with, Ali, and brilliantly delivered. I couldn't improve upon it and won't try to. I will just thank you for your call and go to France now to take another call on Saudi Arabia, this time from Sami in France. Sami, welcome to the show. Sami, are you still there? Alas, I think I heard a call drop off the board, which is a pity because I do want to talk with Sami in France. But let's just see who's up next. It's Mark. I'm not sure which country, but he's nonetheless welcome. Mark, welcome to the show in the UK. Mark, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi, sir. Go ahead, sir.
What are we talking about, George? I can't get Press TV anymore.
really? We're talking about Bahrain and the drunk Bahraini prince taken off the British Airways jet, threatened with 50,000 volts of electricity through the police taser guns, banged up in a jail for complaining about the temperature of the champagne at 10 o'clock in the morning in Ramadan. We're talking about Saudi Arabia's gender separation, how it ought to disqualify it from membership of the Olympic Games, but hasn't, apparently. And we're talking about the mass murder of Muslims in Myanmar. So which of these three would you like to deal with, Mark?
It's a little bit connected, really, George, the way I see it.
Yeah, go on.
Well, you know, we've got the Olympics going on here. Well, there's war, you know, people getting killed in Syria, where the forces that seem to be backing the ones that were fighting in Iraq. So we were told for the mainstream media. Your channel's been blocked from British media. You can't get it now. The computer, it won't stream very much of a show at all. So you have to read everything. But, I mean, I don't know if you heard about the this guy that went undercover, the G4 for the security. They've been flying in thousands of troops into Britain.
Thousands of troops from where?
Hundreds of thousands from everywhere. So supposedly American CIA and
hundreds of thousands
services. I think 100,000.
No,
and then they're talking about.
I'm not aware of that, Mark. And if 100,000 foreign troops have been flown into Britain, then I'm a Dutchman. But thanks for the call. In any case, and we'll go to the comment wall, take a couple of emails, can we? Let's see. We want your point of view, your country up here. It is from Sri Lanka, Tisa. Now there is a conspiracy to set Buddhists against Muslims. Some Buddhists in Sri Lanka were bribed to attack two small mosques, but this was brought under control. Now it's gone to Burma. Someone is paying money to do this dirty work. Muslims get killed all over the world, first by the West, then by the Muslims themselves, bribed by the West. Please comment. Well, I wish it was as simple as that, but it seems to me that there's rather a lot of Muslims in this world who are ready to kill other Muslims for the entertainment, the edification, and in the interests of others, without needing to be bribed in order to do it. Let's go back to the comment wall and take another email. This one from Robert in New Jersey, USA. Mr. Galloway, I don't usually contact TV shows, but this drunk Arab prince story is perfect. The Saudi royals must love you. Has the Saudi Wahhabi factory produced anything other than drunk Arab princes? George, do you know anything about a man by the name of Yazid the First in Arabia around 655? Christian era, interesting comparisons might be drawn. I don't, Robert, but I'm in the market for knowing more about him, so do please send it to me. No, the prince in question, in this case, is a Bahraini prince, very close, 28 years old, billionaire, very close to the so-called king of Bahrain. The Saudi royals are something else. Some of them are decent and respectable people. But many thousands of the Saudi royals and many other thousands of the Saudi elite live lives of grotesque sinfulness and badness. And yet, they go around pretending that they are proper Sunni Muslims. And moreover, that people should support them Muslims should support them because they are proper Sunni Muslims. Well, just take a look at that story of the Bahrain prince. Why don't you? And just tell me, I'm addressing this to my brothers, Sunni Muslims around the world. Take a look at that piece of scum and tell me what's Sunni, what's Muslim about him and them. And why are you implicitly, or even in some cases explicitly, supporting a brutal dictatorship for purely sectarian reasons? Because that's the only reason it can be. Cannot be that you, who support liberty in Palestine, in Syria, and around the Ummah, are against liberty in Bahrain, can it? No. What's the reason then? Because the rulers in Bahrain are righteous people? Take a look at the drunk prince being dragged off to a British prison and tell me how righteous they are. Really, brothers, this is Ramadan. Take a close look at yourselves. Look in the mirror. When you're on your knees, prostrate this evening, when you're prostrating yourself in front of God this evening, just ask if you're saying and thinking and doing the right things in relation to this Bahraini dictatorship. I call on the Sunni Muslims in Bahrain and the Shi'i Muslims in Bahrain, all the Muslims in Bahrain, to rise up and sweep away this corrupt, drunken, thieving, murdering, torturing gang. You know that it's right, don't you? Let's talk to Faiza in the UK about Bahrain. Faiza, my blood's up tonight. Go ahead.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead.
What are you doing? I just want to say, I know you don't agree with the kingdom of Saudi and Bahrain, they're not Muslim. I know you don't agree with that, but what I want to say is, these people, like you said, they're Sunnis. They're not Sunnis. I myself, I born in Sunni, but I don't know what Sunni is all about now, because I just want to be a Muslim. You understand? But one thing I want to say is, this kingdom of Bahrain and Saudi, they're not even Muslim. Naturally, they're not Muslim. They put them there to make us like this, to believe that they're Muslim. And then they bring the women, wives from Yemeni. All of them, their wives are from Yemen. So to mix up. So this is why I have a doubt, Judge Galloway. Can you just please tell me if this is...
Well, Faiza, it was an unbelievably powerful point that you made. I'm actually loath to add to it because it was so powerful. It's best left out there in the internet, on YouTube, in the ether, and seen by people all around the world in real time just now. But I want to concur absolutely with you. There is one God. There is one Islam. There is one Quran. There are good people and there are bad people. The bad people should be fought against as is commanded, whether they are Sunni or Shia. Whether they claim to be Sunni or Shia. If they're bad, struggle against them. Don't defend them because they happen to claim to be a part of the same sect as you, because there is nothing Islamic about that. Let's talk to Dr. Holly Atkinson, who's in the USA, from Physicians for Human Rights, whose report on the poisonous tear gas being used in Bahrain is very powerful and important indeed. Her group has called for a ban. Dr. Holly, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, George. It's nice to be with you.
Summarize, please, the report that your group has produced.
Yes, we conducted a human rights investigation in Bahrain earlier this year in April, and what we found is that the Bahrainian government, in a completely unprecedented way, is indiscriminately using tear gas as a weapon on some of its own citizens, and this is resulting in maiming, blinding, and even killing of protesters and other innocent civilians. So we have called upon the Bahrainian government to stop at once, while the government reassesses its use. And by the way, I just want to say something about terms here. You know, we talk about tear gas, and that is a rather
It's anodyne.
Name.
I call it the poisonous gas that they're firing.
Yes. Well, we in our report, which is called "Weaponizing Tear Gas," Bahrain's unprecedented use of toxic chemical agents against civilians. We talk about them as toxic chemical agents. Now, tear gas is an umbrella term for about 15 different kinds of riot control agents. There's one in particular, CF, that tends to be used today. And, of course, these agents, you know, irritate the lungs and the skin and the eyes. But by calling them tear gas, people think, oh, it just makes you cry. It does a lot more than that. It can have both short-term health effects and long-term health effects.
And it's killed people in Bahrain.
I'm sorry?
It has killed people in Bahrain, this gas.
Yes, there have been reported deaths. And we took testimony. By the way, we interviewed over 102 victims, witnesses, family members, government officials, and civilians. And what we documented was acute injuries. Security forces are oftentimes pointing tear gas launchers directly at people's heads and torsos and trying to hit them with the canisters. And we documented broken bones, skull fractures, skin wounds, facial wounds. Of course, there are some people with long-term exposure who developed respiratory problems, and we believe some deaths from this. And what was particularly disconcerting is that we believe we have picked up an increased rate of miscarriage among women.
Yeah, it's bound to happen,
In neighborhoods that are being saturated with these toxic chemical agents.
Dr. Holly, who's making profits from the sale of this poisonous gas? Which countries, which companies? Let's name and shame. Ah. I lost Dr. Holly. We must try and get her back. Go on.
We had an interruption there.
Well, I was asking you, who's profiting from the sale of this poisonous gas? Which countries? Which companies?
Well,
let's name and shame.
Well, PHR asked the Bahrainian government to provide us with a list of the agents they were using, and unfortunately that has not been forthcoming. And given the canisters that activists have picked up on the streets, it looks like the canisters are coming from the United States, France, and Brazil, although I do want to point out that the U.S. government last year did deny export licenses for tear gas to Bahrain, and we want to see that continue. That is one of the things we are calling for. So if U.S. canisters are being used, those were probably stockpiled before. One of the things we have asked the Bahrainian government for again is a full list of what they are using and
surely
where
Mrs. Clinton could get that for you, Doctor. Mrs. Clinton could command that right now. She could command it with one call to the so-called King of Bahrain. Give us a list of what you're firing at these civilians.
Well, Rick Solom, our deputy director, and Rick was my colleague in the investigation in April. He actually testified before the Lantos Human Rights Commission yesterday, which is part of the U.S. House of Representatives. And one of the things that he called for was that the U.S. government should ensure that any policy decisions regarding Bahrainian support should focus on human rights protection, and that we want to see progress toward democracy.
Dr. Holly Atkinson, I'm deeply grateful to you for a wonderful call. I press on only because of the advancing hour. Jeff is in the UK, wants to talk about Bahrain. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome, go on.
I have to say, since 9/11, I've been very skeptical and upset about this, what I perceive as an overuse of security checks and the procedures at airports in Britain and across the world due to the perceived terrorist threat. I mean, how likely is it there's going to be a Bahraini prince on every one of those flights? But all I'd say, though, is that, I mean, we've seen this several times now, haven't we? I mean, we have a Saudi prince who hacks to death his gay lover. We have a Bahraini prince who tortures athletes, about to be welcomed over here if he hasn't been already. We have this prince who is storming into a cockpit to complain about his champagne on a Ramadan morning. I just say, I mean,
I mean, you couldn't make it up, Jeff, could you?
No, I mean, there's Islam and there's Islam, isn't there? I mean, they all come.
They're
from
on the lam. These people are on the lam. Never mind Islam.
I know. I mean, what's Islamic about a royal family, anyway?
Exactly, yeah.
But I was thinking, you had a previous caller, George, who said that he couldn't get Press TV. I actually saw on the Press TV website the other week that Press TV is now back on the Sky platform.
Well, no, it's not. Press TV isn't back on the Sky platform. Jeff, I press on only because I want to get the last caller in, Dr. Ali Al Ahmad, who's from the Institute for Persian Gulf Affairs, because he's the man behind the No Woman, No Play. And I've only got time for one more call. Dr. Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to speak to you finally, George.
And you, brother. Go ahead.
Well, you know, what we did a few years ago, we started with the Olympic Committee and the International Olympic Committee and asking them to kick out Saudi Arabia from the Olympic Committee and the movement because they practice gender apartheid against Arab and Muslim women in Saudi Arabia. They don't allow women to play sport in schools or anywhere, causing tremendous health issues. 51% of Saudi women are obese. Many of them, over 35%, have diabetes and other ailments, heart disease and bone density issues. And so we are dealing with a tragedy here, a health crisis in our country, because the Saudi monarchy bans our women from exercising and playing sports. So we ask the Olympic Committee to ban them until the Saudi government allows women the freedom to play sports. But the Olympic Committee, because of their cultural indifference and cultural supremacy, did not care despite our repeated efforts. And we will continue to pressure them until they ban the Saudi monarchy to allow our women the right to play sports and other rights.
Well, Dr. Ali, I raised with that really outstanding feminist dame, as she now is, Tessa Jowell, who was the Olympics minister. I asked her on radio live, on TalkSport, it's on YouTube, how can you as a feminist and as a Labour minister possibly tolerate Saudi Arabia sending an all-male team to the Olympic Games because no woman is allowed to participate in sport? How can you allow it? This hypocrisy is beyond belief. Ali, Dr. Ali, how do people support your campaign? Do you have a website?
We have a website, nowomennoplay.com. We sell shirts to help the campaign. They're wonderful shirts. So go on nowomennoplay.com and you will see the information.
Nowomennoplay.com?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. I'll be looking at that later. Dr. Ali Al Ahmad, the originator of No Woman, No Play. Let's all get behind that campaign to allow the Saudi girls and women to exercise and to be involved in sport. And end this shame of Saudi Arabia with such apartheid, segregationist views being allowed to participate in the election. Well, these have been my views. They're not the views of Press TV, definitely not. And they're not the views of any government, definitely not. But they were mine. Hope you liked the show. If you did, inshallah, see you next week.
Just make sure the volume's set to 0.
0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need to put through the phone number and then we'll be back.